and welcome to another edition of Visions. With me, your host, Yudeli Wickham Ashby. And today, as we celebrate so many important days that have just passed, I have as my special guest, Jessica Jacoby from St. Lucia, a beautiful young lady who has done several tremendous feats in her short time on earth already. Welcome to the program, Jessica.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Wonderful of you to have me.
It's my pleasure because I am all about sharing information and encouraging others through stories of people's personal experiences. And I think that you have some wonderful experiences that you can share with us and help to encourage other young and older persons with disabilities and their families and just generally the policymakers who help in these decision making. So Jessica, tell us a little about yourself.
Okay, a little about me. I was born blind. I am a St. Lucian. I have lived in St. Lucia most of my life. Lived outside of St. Lucia only for 2 years. That's when I pursued my second and third years of my undergraduate degree. I studied in Trinidad. I have a Bachelor of Science degree in psychology and human resource management. I have been throughout my entire life an advocate, not only for myself, but for persons with disabilities, especially persons who are blind and visually impaired. A very active member of the St. Lucia Blind Welfare Association. Between 2018 and 2020, I served as the human rights officer, have remained as a volunteer with the organization in that aspect.
Okay, it sounds like you've really had a very full life, being very active and energetic with it as well.
Yes, I have.
So tell us a little about your educational period in St. Lucia. Did you go to a regular school or a school for the blind and deaf, as they usually have throughout the Caribbean?
Okay, I started my education at the St. Lucia Blind Welfare Association, where they had what was called then a school for the blind, but it was more or less a program where persons who are blind and visually impaired went in and learned a lot of the basic skills that are required. Well, that's what happened in my time, to be able to be integrated into the normal school system. I was there from about age 2.5 until about 8 years old, where I was integrated into a regular school. I did the common entrance exam and was successful to attend one of the top secondary schools on island, which was the Leon Hess Comprehensive Secondary School. During my time at Ave Maria Primary and at Leon Hess, I had an itinerant teacher. These were teachers who were assigned to the Education Services Unit of the Blind Welfare Association in St. Lucia to come and ensure that we had the reasonable accommodation we needed to be able to cope in the regular classroom. And from the secondary school, I gained entry into the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College, the A-level division. And I was the first person who is blind who successfully gained entry into the Sir Arthur Lewis Community College. And there I pursued studies in sociology, literature, and business management. Well, about 2 or so years later, I started my program with UWE at the UWE Open Campus and the other 2 years in Trinidad, where I, as I said before, I pursued my degree in psychology and human resource management. This is my educational journey. My university life did not include an itinerant teacher. So this forced or literally pushed me into being the most independent I could be, so that I could manage, especially with the support of my friends and other classmates and tutors and lecturers and all those who were willing to assist me, especially my family.
Excellent, excellent. Because it's really about living independently. And as much as we are striving for either vocational or academic excellence, we still need to be independent to complete the cycle of how we are going to use our training and educational powers.
Definitely.
Now, was that experience good? Your whole educational journey, would you say that you have learned many lessons through going to regular primary school, the college and university?
Overall, it was good. I can't say what it is, but it was good because it allowed me the opportunity to grow as a person who is blind. I was able to grow and to fit into the regular society and to be able to advocate for myself and others, as well as it gave persons around me the opportunity to interact with somebody who is blind. And this was really good for sensitization of our society. I can also say it was good in that I had a very good support system in terms of my family, and persons were almost always very willing to assist when I needed assistance and to encourage me when I needed encouragement. I'm not saying it was perfect, but it was good.
Mm-hmm. So usually after you've succeeded in obtaining your qualifications, every individual looks for employment, either part-time or full-time employment. What has that experience been like for you? Were you able to find full-time or part-time employment, or did you become self-employed?
Okay, finding employment was very challenging. And we have persons who do not have a disability all the time complaining or stating how challenging it is to find employment. Much as for us who have a disability, it's like we are scrutinized even more. Because people always wonder, what can you do? Yes, you say you can do this, you can do that. But can you really do what you say that you can? So I started with the St. Lucia Blind Welfare Association in the project development unit. I assisted with the development and implementation of projects. And I worked with the clients as well. I did a lot of different things with the association, which really helped and strengthened me to be able to go outside of the what I would call the blindness environment. It just really prepared me. But for the past 9 to 10 years, I'm on my 10th year now, I've been teaching. Interestingly, I became an itinerant teacher right back in the program where I started as a student. And what I have been told by many persons, my department head, my colleagues, teachers that I work with at the schools, parents, many persons who meet me have said that the most important thing that I could bring to the table is my experience. And it is really helping the students and other persons, because what is said is that a teacher can go to school and learn something out of a book. But when you have lived through the situation, it puts you in the best place to be able to share and to be able to teach.
That's a very valid point, because I think many times our personal experiences, our life experiences are overlooked, and they are extremely important and useful in helping other individuals to benefit from our training and our execution of our work, you know?
Yeah.
So as an itinerant teacher, tell us what that involves. And is it challenging for you to move to and from your various students?
Okay, for me, in my itinerant teaching work, I started working with students on academics, but my program has been changed and I'm the only person who does what I do in my program. I focus on life skills. So some orientation and mobility, in teaching the students how to use the cane. I do daily living skills. I teach Braille. I teach the students how to use the assistive technology that's available, whatever that we have. I also do counseling with the parents as well. And I work with my colleagues if they need any material prepared or anything for their students as well. I also do that. So it's a lot, so many different areas that I have to touch on. But for me, it's focusing on ensuring that the students have the life skills to ensure that they are independent, and also working with the parents to provide them with the relevant support so that they can allow their children to be able to live and to grow and to be independent. I always remind them that parents will not always be around, and my parents are not always around. So looking at me as an example, they need to allow their children to make the best of their life. So it has its challenges moving around. I had to get a driver to take me around to my different schools. And fortunately, it is somebody that I am comfortable with, somebody I've known for a long time. So that has worked out well. And in terms of being accepted in the schools, because sometimes some teachers tell you they go into the classroom and teachers may feel uncomfortable because they think that either you come in to evaluate them or you're in their space, and if they need to chastise the children or do whatever, because you're around, they don't feel comfortable doing that. But my teachers have mostly been very comfortable with me, as well as my students and the parents. So the journey has been good so far.
Wonderful, wonderful. Okay, so we've looked at your educational and employment journeys. Now let's talk a little more about your personal life and your volunteerism. You mentioned previously that you were part of the World Blind Union. Tell us, what is the World Blind Union and how did you become involved with it? Mm-hmm.
The World Blind Union is an international organization based in Canada that represents the over 250 million persons who are blind, visually impaired in the world. And our organizations around the world are members or are encouraged to be members of the World Blind Union, which is a parent organization. So this organization mostly focuses on advocacy, ensuring that the rights of persons with disabilities or persons who are blind and visually impaired, and if we refer to them as partially sighted, so persons who are blind and persons who are partially sighted, that their human rights are respected and that we also know our responsibilities. So this organization was part of the organizations that really push for the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. It is also the main organization that has ensured that we now have the Marrakesh Treaty, which is a treaty that allows the conversion of printed material into accessible format for persons who are blind, partially sighted, and otherwise print disabled. My relationship with the World Blind Union commenced in 2017 when I went to Canada to participate in training on the Marrakesh Treaty. I was pushed in that direction by Ms. Kerri-Anne Ifill, your own from Barbados, who is the president of the Caribbean Council for the Blind. And when I returned to St. Lucia, I had to do training in Antigua in 2018, where I thought the only thing that I had left to do was to just monitor and ensure that the treaty was ratified, or people were pushing to ensure that the treaty got ratified in their respective countries. However, later in that year, I got a call from the CEO of the World Blind Union, WBU, and he told me that they wanted me to apply for fellowship. And to make the long story short, I was selected, and the World Blind Union was selected among 14 countries of 14 organizations that applied. They applied for 4 fellowships. So I was one of those who was selected. And during that time, I served as the human rights officer / consultant for the World Blind Union until about mid-2020. However, I have continued to volunteer with the organization, like I do with the St. Lucia Blind Welfare Association, the Caribbean Council for the Blind, and other places where I volunteer that may take a long time to be able to just keep sharing.
And this is really dynamic and very good that a young woman like you, who is vision impaired, can give of her time, talent, and skills for the development not only of blind and vision impaired people, but our societies.
Indeed.
as an overall goal. This is wonderful, Jessica, and I must salute you for taking the time to do this, because so often we complain about our young people, whether disabled or not being involved, not giving back to society. And here you are with blindness as part of your life and still have this strong ability and talent to do and give back. So great work.
Thank you. Well, I do, because I believe that it's not only persons who are blind or visually impaired who may have their challenges, but everybody has their own challenges. We all need a little encouragement. We all need a push in some direction, and we all need support some way, somehow. So I do a lot of youth work as well and a lot of church work.
Wonderful. So share with us, Jessica, who would you say have given you one of the best pieces of advice that has catapulted you in a new direction or really has enhanced your life?
There are so many people, but I can start from home and say my mom. The reason that I can say that is I believe that a lot of persons with disabilities encounter this way. You say to your parents, I got an opportunity to travel to somewhere. And they'd be like, how can you do it? And what will happen? And a lot of questions. Every opportunity that comes my way or everything that I see and I want to try, and I say, mommy, I saw that, you know, or I have an interest in doing that. I want to go out to study at UWE. I'm going to Canada. I'm going to Geneva. And she's always just behind me. Okay, go ahead. So it's like, you feel that level of support, that push, that encouragement, because you're not being held back. You are not being asked the question how you can do it. Maybe the questions may be in her head, but she has always been one to push me and to encourage me. So the greatest advice that I've gotten, well, one of them was from her, and which has always been, if you feel you can do it, go for it.
Nice. And what would you say has been one of your most memorable moments?
One of my most memorable moments was my graduation from UWE.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that when I just got to Trinidad, it was scary. As much as I was so hyped, okay, they say that they do not have things in place for persons who have blind or visually impaired, but they will work on stuff. And there was so much uncertainty. And when I got there, it would have been my first time being away from home for such a long time on my own. I had traveled before, but it wouldn't have been for such a long time. And the reason this graduation is so memorable, because I said to myself, okay, wow, Jessica, you made it. You made it. It was challenging. You didn't have all the things you needed. I mean, studying was hard because I had to be scanning my books myself on my little scanner with my laptop and sit back and read. And it was really a challenging journey. And I felt so accomplished on that day. So it's memorable for me.
Great. Congratulations yet again, because it is a significant achievement.
Thank you very much.
And are you considering doing your master's and PhD?
Well, I am not sure yet about the PhD part, but people always tell me every time you move one step further, you feel what you want to move again. So I am looking strongly at a master's program. May do two master's programs rather than go to a PhD, but I'm not sure as yet. But I'm really looking forward to doing my first master's.
Yes. So, Jessica, as a young woman with a disability, and you've had extensive travel where you would have encountered other young people with disabilities, what would be one of your goals for youth with disabilities in the Caribbean?
My goal, what I desire to see is that more persons with disabilities in the Caribbean push themselves further in terms of their education, whether it be academics, whether it be vocational, whatever it is, because generally we really need the education, that we need the papers, because it's a world where it's very competitive and we need to be able to show that we have something or are carrying something. So it's not like in my time some years ago when the technology was not what it is now. So I would love to see persons really pushing themselves. And those who are not in an educational environment, let us start to think of what we can do to earn a living for ourselves. The important thing is to try to be as independent as possible and to gain our respect in the society, as well as to respect ourselves, not to be seen as persons who are quote-unquote beggars or dependents, and not to be seen, especially if we're with our women, as women who can be easily used or manipulated just because we do not know our self-worth.
Excellent, excellent. And just quickly, during this COVID period, how have you coped?
Well, for me, I'm somebody who likes to stay at home, so it has not been too much of a problem. So I have continued doing a lot of reading, doing my research, communicating with other persons who may have their own challenges, and doing my counseling as well. It may not be formal counseling, but a lot of persons just need somebody to talk to. So I have been doing that.
Well, Jessica, our time has caught up with us. That clock on the wall has been, yes, this is the end. So I want to say thank you very much for so candidly sharing with us and letting our listeners get a peep into your life and how you are thinking and planning to move forward. So thanks once again.
You're welcome. Again, thank you for the opportunity. I trust that my interview will have a positive impact or will encourage somebody who is listening. Thanks again.
You have been listening to Visions with me, Yudeli Wickham Ashby, and my special guest, Jessica Jacoby, out of St. Lucia. Remember, you can reach me on 1-246-269-9660 or 1-246-430-7300 via Starcom and by email at visionsbarbados@gmail.com. That is visionsbarbados@gmail.com. And you can check this and past episodes on the VOB929.com website or on my Facebook page, EUDAWICKHAM, and you'll be able to see these and past episodes. So until next week, love yourself and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Ciao.